Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077 is our toll-free phone number where you can join Second Amendment Tuesdays. Oh, legislature's getting into session tomorrow. Guess what we're going to talk about?
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
That's Steve Voss with Come and Take It here on Bulldog Live, and this is Penny Dean. How are you today?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, boy, trying to keep track of everything going on in the world, and that's an impossible task, so...
Isn't it, though, every time, I mean, you can spend your life and you still don't do it, let alone those of us that have to work.
Yeah, really.
You know, every time you have to work, you're like, wait a minute, why do I have to work?
Kids ask me that all the time.
You want me to tell you the best one I ever heard was I was coming back from some hearing, and I was wine-assing to my brother. And I said, why do I have to work? And you know what he said to me without missing a beat?
What?
To buy shoes. He knows one of my bad habits, and then he added, to buy guns, to buy jewelry, to buy motorcycles. I went, hey, that's enough. That's just enough.
What about the pickup trucks, you know?
That's true. I have a cool pickup truck.
Yeah,
so that's exactly why I have to work. I have to, you know, pay for all these darn things. Unless, of course, you know that big lotto that just happened? It was like, what, $300 million?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to it anymore. Not until they get rid of the stupid gambling tax in the state will I buy another lottery ticket.
The gambling tax in the state? You mean if I win the lotto someday that I have to pay a gambling tax?
10%.
Oh, my gal.
Even if you win $3, you still got to pay the state 10% of that.
Oh, my gal.
Yes, and I have not bought another lottery ticket since that tax went into effect. And so has many other people, which is why the lottery revenues are down.
Oh, my God. Now, when did that tax go in effect?
About a year or two ago, as part of the last budget, in order to, quote-unquote, balance it.
Oh, so when you win a lottery ticket, like at the store, do they take it out before you get it, or you have to turn it into the state?
You got to volunteer that.
Okay.
unless it's like the real big one where you have to go into lottery headquarters, perhaps, and you know, pick up the big prize. Then they probably, that's where they start skimming it. But the legislature is working on it, as we're told. So.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, let's hope that that'll be done come June 1st.
You know what? I hope so, too, because I'll tell you what, there has been a lot of stuff going on. Now, here, this has been kind of a light week for firearm things as far as in the New Hampshire State House.
Okay.
But let me tell you something, kind of digress for a minute. Pennsylvania supposedly touted, we've reformed license to carry, everything's good, you know, you should be happy, we have this great reciprocity, all that type of thing. And so, of course, I've got a Pennsylvania non-resident license to carry, but I really didn't follow the legislation.
Well, it's interesting you say that because my understanding is that New Hampshire residents can carry with their license in Pennsylvania.
They can, but okay. I have always had a Pennsylvania license for a variety of other reasons.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I've had a Pennsylvania non-resident license for a long, long time.
Okay.
And the gist of it is, but my whole point is about people being careful when they tout about we're going to reform the law and we're going to make it better. And my answer is sometimes better according to who. I've had a Pennsylvania non-resident license forever, and I received my application yesterday in the mail from the Pike County Sheriff and said, hey, you're up for renewal in 60 days, blah, 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 right?
Pike County, that's out in western Pennsylvania, isn't it?
You know what? I'm embarrassed to tell you that I don't know where it is. I just drive there every 5 years and pick up my license.
Oh, okay. I'm just guessing. You know, I think I've heard it once before, and I thought, oh, wow, okay, cool. Well, anyway, continue.
Yep. And like I said, I'm embarrassed to tell you, here's what happens. I get in my car, I set my GPS, I go there, because you have to pick them up in person, right? And with this new reform that they did, you now have to drop your license application off in person and pick it up in person, which necessitates two trips to Pennsylvania.
At $3.43 a gallon. Sure.
Plus how many hours on the road, right?
Plus the tolls through New Jersey.
Plus the tolls through,
and Pennsylvania.
The bottom line is, okay, if that is reforming of license to carry, God, that's a good deal. You know, where, for example, the center county.
Yeah, for the ARABs.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The center county sheriff, if you get your application in by March 31st, which I understand that's a stretch, and I sent you the link in case you want to post it on your website, he will still do mail order applications up until the 31st, which is when the law changes.
So you overnighted it, right?
Oh, darn right.
You sent that out this morning? Good.
You bet I did. You bet I did.
You're standing in a long line at the Concord Post Office at 9 a.m.
That's exactly right, because the bottom line is they're going to honor the old law as long as they can, because that sheriff is known to be a good sheriff, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, when people talk about, you know, passing legislation and let you read it, and they say, oh, it's improved, it does this, this, and this. Well, do you consider improved going from mail order to two trips?
No.
I don't consider that improved.
No. What would be the purpose of having to drop it off by hand?
ID verification.
So you do that when you pick it up, like you do in New Hampshire.
That's exactly what I told him. This is ID verification.
That's why I don't live in Pennsylvania either. They do stupid things there, too.
Well, you know what? And that's exactly my point, is that happens everywhere. And it segues into my next point, which is SB 88, which is Senate Bill 88, which says relative to physical force in defense of a person. And people would say, well, gee, that's a great idea. You know, we want that. And, of course, I agree.
To try and revive the Stand Your Ground law, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And this is sponsored by several senators and several individuals. And the bottom line is, and there's some pro-firearm people on it that I think are just totally, totally misguided. And basically, it's going to amend RSA 627-4 to read as follows. And the first part just adds himself or herself. They add herself or she, you know, putting the girls in, if you will, which is fine.
Yeah, I know. You got to make it the gender whatever.
Gender proper,
be
whatever.
Politically correct, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and that's fine. But they've added amendments. But let me tell you the problem that they add. They put surrender property to a person asserting a claim of right thereto. Okay.
Meaning a criminal saying, give me your wallet, or give me your car, or give me...
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay, but they basically say, if you're doing that, or comply with the demand that he or she abstain from performing an act which he or she is not obliged to perform, nor is the use of deadly force just... This is huge. Why would you put this in there? Nor is the use of deadly force justifiable when, with the purpose of causing death or serious bodily harm, the actor has provoked the use of force against himself or herself in the same encounter. So, the term provoked. Let's say I say, how about the Red Sox? You know, and we have someone who doesn't like the Red Sox.
Oh, they might be a Yankees fan, huh?
Right. And so, did I provoke that encounter? The bottom line is the guy had a Yankees jacket on, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, what do you think when you said, how about them Red Sox? You know?
Right.
The guy, and I said, well, he was facing me. The Yankee logo was on the back of his jacket. I didn't know it was there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because how many logos have you seen where they're on the back of the shirt? They're not on the front
right.
of the jacket. But is that enough to provoke it so that I am not entitled to the benefit of this affirmative defense?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
I wonder if any of them thought of that. No. Continue.
The bottom line is, here's the other thing. They're adding a person is not justified in using deadly force on another. Is not justified to defend himself or herself or a third person from deadly force by the other if he or she knows that he or she and the third person can, with complete safety, surrender property. Okay, so I have to surrender my car because you say it's your car?
Yeah. I thought, and seriously, I want to ask you this question. I thought that carjackings were covered in the use of deadly force.
Well, it depends on who you're asking. you know,
okay.
because...
Oh, great. There we go again. this is why lawyers get involved.
Well, you know, here's what I tell people all the time, is that I think certain laws are clear as a bell. But it depends on which man or lady in a black robe that's in front of you. Because if you talk to any experienced trial lawyer, and you know what they will generally ask you before the general facts of a case? Who's the lawyer on the other side and who's the judge? Now, should the facts matter more or should the judge matter? But as a practical matter, and I tell this to people all the time, the number one thing, if you talk, you know, get a bunch of lawyers talking what I call shop, and the number one thing they'll ask if someone says, gee, I have this client in this particular case, what do you think my range of outcomes are? First thing everyone asks is, who's the judge, what court?
Huh.
Now, and that amazes people, and I can tell you when I was a young lawyer, and even, you know, before I became a lawyer, I'd say, wait a minute, I'm trying to tell you the facts, and they'll go, yeah, I'll get to that, but who's the judge? And at the time, I thought, why are these lawyers not paying attention to the important things? That was when I was younger and dumber. And I realized those are the important things, and it's sad, and it's unfortunate, but it's the way it is. It's what I call reality 101. And I tell people all the time, do you want to know what you want to hear, or do you want to know the truth? You know, do you want to know the practical effects of these things? And the number one thing that, you know, experienced trial attorneys will say is, well, who's the judge trying that case?
Mm-hmm.
And so the bottom line is, to answer your question, I guess in a roundabout way, is the other thing is it totally depends on how they're going to assert things. You know, what a judge will let you assert, what a judge will say isn't within the rules of evidence, because if the average person ever read what's called the rules of evidence, which are basically the guidelines that govern what comes in and what doesn't come in court, they're going to say, it says whatever the reader wants it to say. I go, yep, that's what it means.
Oh, my goodness.
That, I mean, as a practical matter, you make your arguments either way, but they're really nebulous enough to give what's called the trier of fact or the judge a huge amount of discretion to decide what's going to happen. And so the question is, what's the term complete safety mean? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm being serious. What does complete safety with? You know, and the other thing is, do you have to surrender your car? And here's what the problem is. When the courts, when a judge is interpreting the law, they're going to say, and they've said this repeatedly, that the legislature is presumed to mean what it says and say what it means, and they're also presumed to know all of the other laws they've enacted. So what the court always does is try and harmonize those laws. Unless it's clear that one is explicitly meant to overrule the other, they're going to say, wait, the legislature knows how to rescind laws, they can repeal laws, and they didn't do it, so they must have wanted both of these laws to be in effect. But the problem is, they then say, how do we harmonize these? And so I'm not sure you can harmonize those. But I think more importantly is that the amendment that I have seen bandied about to this bill, which is really, in my mind, worse, the amendment basically provides that, how do I want to say this? The amendment provides, if you can make a bad bill worse, they've done so. It basically adds, a person is not justified in using deadly force on another to defend himself or herself, or a third person from deadly force that he or she provoked, and we keep going back to that. What does provoke mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the question is someone else going to argue?
Did you give somebody a dirty look? Did you give somebody a finger? Did you, you know, in traffic? Did you, you know, something along those lines, right?
That's exactly right.
Because my understanding is, if again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I might be correct on this, and I darn better well be, because if I ever find myself in this situation, I need to know. Let's say an argument started. Okay. Whoever started it, if I'm backing away from an argument, and then the guy, and let's say I started the argument for some reason, I said, you know, you're a moron. You know how to drive. You get your license out of a Cracker Jack box or Massachusetts. Where'd you get it? You know? And then the guy comes after me and I'm going to back off. I'm going to say, put my hands up, say, okay, that's enough. I'm out of here. Goodbye. And I start to leave and the guy, you know, pulls a gun, knife, weapon or whatever. I turn around and I end up using deadly force on him. I thought that under the current rules that I would be justified in using that, presuming I couldn't retreat safely. But this law sounds like if I started it from the very beginning,
you're
screwed.
Out of luck.
Yes.
You're out of luck.
Under this amendment to Senate Bill 88.
Yes, and not only that, even the way Senate Bill 88 is right now, you're talking, it is going to be supposedly to the floor on 3:30, which is 2 days away.
Okay, so
you know, that's coming up pretty darn quick.
Actually, that's tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I'm always bad on days.
Wednesday, yeah. Tomorrow, Thursday is going to be the big budget day. That's the 31st. So, yeah, tomorrow being taking care of the other housekeeping type stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, so Senate Bill 88 goes to the floor. This is the full house tomorrow.
Yes. That okay. is the way, that's the information I have right now.
Has this already passed the Senate?
You know what? My understanding, the famous word, my understanding, is it came over from the Senate, because my understanding is it came from, it is a Senate bill, it's SB 88, and so my understanding is the sponsors were Senator Booten, and, you know, I could go through the list, but my
right.
my understanding is it did.
well, it was introduced and referred to judiciary. Yeah.
Okay. And that's my understanding.
Which would be the Senate judiciary, since the Senate Bill 88, right?
Yes.
So in order to be in the House, it would have to have passed the Senate, even though the House, the journal on this, or the bill docket, doesn't really specifically state what happened.
Yep, in Senate Journal 3, and I don't know, that's exactly right. This is one of the bills that the history is not clear to me, and it seemed to appear like a periscope of a submarine going to sink you coming up, and we're like, oh, where did that come from?
Right.
where did that come from? Everyone's looking at it going, how did that get here? You know? And the bottom line is that if you go to the Legislative Watch, GoinH has a Legislative Watch. If you click on the left side.
But hold on a second, Penny, because I'm looking at this. The next action that's slated for this back on the Senate side is on March 10th at 1:30 p.m. for the Senate Judiciary Committee.
That's.
Oh, that's already passed. Oh, excuse me. I'm getting my months mixed up.
Yeah,
now.
Sorry. That was
okay.
19 days ago, right? So, yeah, it is very hard. This term, we have had just a barrage.
This isn't easy to figure out. They can do better than this.
Yeah.
They have done better than
this. They have done better than this. It's just a really, really, I think, a bill that should be of concern to people. You know, a lot of people, of concern to people. And the bottom line is, at least this week we have, other than that, really a reprieve from what I call this barrage of firearm legislation, where every darn day, you know, you had sometimes 3, 4, and 5 bills being heard a day. It was really hard for people to keep up. And so you have to look at this. And like I tell people, to watch, because I have a feeling next week we're going to see a barrage of bills being heard in the Senate then.
I have a feeling on that, too. Well, Penny, let's take a time out. I must take the time out right now. And then when we come back, we'll get to Jim's call on another topic. How's that sound?
That's okay with me.
All right. Bulldog Live continues. Second Amendment Tuesdays here on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages. Live on The Pulse.